This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Ecker.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
So the National Press Photographers Association has filed a request with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention asking that journalists who have direct contact with the public on a regular basis, particularly visual journalists, be expressly included in the phase of the COVID-19 vaccine that includes the essential and critical infrastructure workforce. In other words, they want journalists to be considered essential workers who should get be among those who get first crack at the vaccine as it becomes available. This is information from the Poynter website. And Rajvi, do you agree with this this way of thinking that journalists should be considered essential workers?
I think journalists are in fact essential workers, because imagine every day journalists are tirelessly trying to deliver information to the people who seek it, right? They are working nonstop. They are trying to gather the data, you know, use codes, meet people. And, you know, this is a time when even meeting people is a big deal. And they are risking their lives just to get the right information to the audiences. And I think, personally, they should be classified as essential workers. But some countries, they don't. For instance, if you look at United Kingdom, press is considered to be essential workers. You know, when everything is under a lockdown, press are given impunity so that they can get out, gather information, and deliver the content. But in some countries, when there is a lockdown, even the journalists and the press and the folks who are in television or print medium, they are also part of the lockdown. So it depends on country to country how essential workers are classified, if they are journalists or not. Again, it depends upon the government. But I personally feel whether you are in print, digital news, or television news, I mean, during this COVID-19 pandemic situation, journalists should be deemed essential workers because they are risking their lives to get us the information. They're putting themselves in harm's way. And imagine, like, you know, recently I was watching so many, you know, documentaries and news articles about journalists risking into hospitals where they treat COVID patients. They are entering into, like, special areas where they're treating COVID patients. And that's a big risk. They are risking their lives to get that message. Imagine, people, please don't travel during Thanksgiving. Please don't do this. Why? Because the hospitals are very, very stressed because of the influx of patients, and they're not able to handle more patients. See, we are not only dealing with COVID patients. We are dealing with emergency. We are dealing with people with a heart attack. We are dealing with people with accidents. They also need to use hospitals, and the hospital system is strained. So these are the information that they're trying to tell the people. And you know what? People still think, oh, man, you know what? After November 3rd, COVID-19 is going to disappear. They think it's a hoax. So again, we are living in a time when there are, like, so much of infodemic, I would say, like, there's so much of information which are fake, which are good, which are completely, you know, outright lie. And people all fall for it. So again, I would always argue that journalists should be considered an essential worker.
And just to quickly follow up on your point about hospitals, there are fewer beds in hospitals than there would have been decades ago as medicine is advanced and more of these procedures become outpatient procedures. There are fewer beds available in hospitals than there would have been, you know, even 30 or 40 years ago.
And which is why, to Rajvi's point, how essential journalists are right now, because how would we know this information otherwise? If we have these journalists providing this information on the front lines, for one, I just wanted to echo those sentiments. But, you know, secondly, I think we need to be aware of what the actual impact that the greatest illness, national, global threat to our health is in a generation, perhaps beyond a generation, a century, if you go back to the Spanish flu. And I think we need those journalists still on the ground, and there are fewer of them on the ground, as we've been talking about for years on the show. And I think that just goes to show and expose how essential journalists are to this, in informing us and helping, trying to keep us healthy. And then, of course, combating this other layer of what is legitimate news and what is not. So we're fighting against so much. I think this just shows again how essential journalists are, more now than any ever before in recent history, I think.
And I'll say, as a radio journalist, there are stories I've been able to cover using the phone or other means without right. having to go out in public. But there are times still, even for radio, when you have to get out in the public. And certainly for the website, I need a photo to accompany every story. That's yeah. the way the platform is set up. So I need those types of images. And just to cover a community, you can't simply sit in a studio. You can't sit in an office as a journalist and entirely cover your community. You need to get out and see what is going on. And in particular, with these visual journalists, again, too, it's not just a matter of getting out to see what's going on and being able to tell stories of what's happening in that community. But when you're a visual journalist, you need to get those photographs. You need to get that video. And those are people who are out in the community constantly.
Absolutely. It's shoe leather. We'll talk about that, right? We have that. I preach that to the students all the time, talking about having to get out there, seeing for yourself, asking the questions, witnessing it, living it, and then exposing it and bringing it back to your readership, to your viewers, because not everyone could be at the city council meeting. Not everyone could be at the school board meeting. Not everyone could have been at the traffic accident, at the house fire, what have you. No, that's still an essential part of our business that we just have to be that much more cautious about and careful about. But that doesn't mean we stop doing those things, but we certainly have to rethink how we go about doing that for the sake of public safety.
Well, and how many times as a journalist, either of you, has someone told you something, hey, I saw this, heard that, and you have to get out in the community and you double check and you find out things are a little different than
oh, sure.
what this other person told you. You can't just rely on hearsay.
Absolutely.
You need to get out and follow up on things. And sometimes that involves seeing something
yes.
for yourself.
Just hearing it's not enough. Verifying and verification is about looking through, looking for documentation, going to the place of origin, in anything that you need to do to verify that. I mean, your reputation and your career is going to rest upon that. It's very crucial.
That's what we teach or train the students. All journalists are different from people who are capturing things with their phones. Because we have in journalism layers of channel where they make sure that reliable, credible information is going to the audience. For instance, you know, I take a photograph, I see an accident, I post it on social media, right? But on the contrary, if you're working in a news agency or if you're working for an organization, well, the photo has to go through several layers of people will ensure, okay, this is the right information, this information is right, making sure that all the information we are presenting in a way that people are given the truth about what's happening. And that's what people have so much of credibility for news organization. When you look at something that's posted in a credible paper such as, you know, the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Tribune, people know, okay, so many people have worked to ensure that there is truth in what's being presented, rather than being any citizen or any journalist or any person who can just take a photograph and upload it on social media. People think that's still a very good relevant source of information, but we don't know the credibility behind that. And that's when the news organization comes to place, where there are so many layers of channel to ensure that the information is right. And that's why we still need to understand that we need to promote journalism, because journalism is pretty much fundamental for any country across the world. As they say, without journalists, there is no journalism, and without journalism, there is no democracy. So again, this is something that we have to reiterate again and again, that we have to support and promote local newspapers and journalism, because that will ensure democracy and transparency right from the local level.
Journalists serve a public service. They perform the due diligence. That is for the betterment of the citizenry, to inform the citizenry, as Rajvi said, for a democracy. It's essential. It's part of our First Amendment. We can't and we should not exist and be ignorant of things that are going on around us. And this is why we need working journalists to look out and to provide this information, this service for us.
We're going to wrap up our discussion for this week. Our listeners can join us again next week here at tspr.org for more of Shop Talk.